Hi, hello, how are you? It's Daryl here, and I am the host of Cage Rage, a Nicolas Cage podcast. On this podcast, come and join me on my journey to true cage nirvana. What is that, you ask? Well, it's the most profound, spiritual, emotional, elite state of being achieved only by, you guessed it, watching every movie the greatest actor of any generation has ever been in. Each week I'll be joined by an amazing guest as we talk all about the man I call the Golden Hog of Hollywood and dive unnecessarily deep into a Nick Cage film to learn a little more about this renegade of cinema. If you like your movie podcast a little different and a lot silly, or you just love Nicolas Cage, come and join me over on Cage Rage wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, keep on caging, it's all you have to do.
There are ghosts around us all the time. Most of them, they can't hurt us. Most of them don't even want to hurt us. But there are exceptions.
Is it bad tonight?
Oh, bad? It is my professional opinion. We should get the hell out of here. Now.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hello.
This week, we'll be discussing the horror classic, 13 Ghosts, with Matthew Lillard, Tony Shalhoub, F. Murray Abraham, Shannon Elizabeth. It's an all-star cast, for goodness sake. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genres with a comedic twist. Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm on my way to Vegas in the middle of summer to go wander around and shoot pictures and stuff.
Not bad.
And then I'm going to go up to a ghost town and take more pictures.
Now, is it an actual ghost town in the desert? Or is it one of those things where there are actually people who are there and they kind of lead you around? Like, oh, yes, this used to be the old barn. Or is it literally an abandoned shack out like in Zizix or something?
I have been to Zizix.
I'm sure you have.
By the university runs it. It's no longer abandoned. But I will tell you, one of my most traumatic experiences is when we were on a family trip and we're going to go to Bodie Ghost Town. And there were no ghosts. It just looked like a bunch of buildings falling down. Where are the ghosts? Why is it called a ghost town?
Well, so, okay.
I'm going to like a Bodie, except it's Ryanite and it's in the middle of the desert. So it's a bunch of 1800 buildings with just like a shells.
But are there docents there? Or is it literally you could be stabbed by a junkie? Like a crackhead could jump out of any door.
No, if there was a junkie there, he would be like the mummy. He would have been all like an old crunchy cicada. So I could hear him snapping and crackling as he tried to stab me.
There are going to be some meth heads hiding behind these doors if you don't watch yourself, is what I'm saying.
Then I will take a picture of, hey, meth head. No one takes meth anymore. Don't you know? It's all fentanyl, Kevin. Come on.
They need a shack to live in as well.
Well, the difference is meth, they're going to be chasing after me because they got super energy. Fentanyl, they're just going to lay there like a fish out of water and I'll just step over them.
I just don't want to hear this is some kind of Hills Have Eyes sort of situation.
I did download all the maps, so I don't have that unfortunate thing like I did last time I went out into the desert. And I'm like, it's all fun and games, and then it's time to leave. And I put on the GPS, and it's...
No signal.
No service. No service. And I'll be returning through Death Valley. No service. No nothing. And there's thousands of tales of tourists who got off that wrong road and they didn't find, they found bones 10 years later.
That is the wrong road. I'm not going to lie to you. That's the wrong road.
I read this whole article of this German family that they still, like 10 years later, they found like a few, like two bones of a family of four.
Ideally, the bones should all be together.
No,
right?
That's it. They found the car.
So then what does that mean?
They were out of water. There was some empty wine bottles in the back of the car, but they didn't find a trace of them for a while.
That's a Hills Have Eyes situation.
It is full of Hills Have Eyes. Plus, it's hot as balls because you're in Death Valley.
Absolutely.
And the word death is in the name.
It's in the name.
That's a warning.
When they tell you who they are, believe them.
Shout out right there. Plus, the hotels in the death land of death are like $300 and completely sold out because every European got to go to Death Valley.
They're insane. Aaron, give us your 30-second synopsis of 13 Ghosts. And again, this is 2001 13 Ghosts, not the one from the 60s.
I was going to pretend it was the one from the 60s with Vincent Price because I prefer that version.
That's the House on Haunted Hill, by the way.
Whatever. Tony Shalhoub should not be in any kind of horror film, by the way. I also thought he was only like 4 feet tall, but he claims to be 5'10", so I was quite shocked by that.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, haunted Tony Shalhoub, wife burned up like a crispy piece of fried chicken, gets an inheritance to go in some kind of wizarding world, plexiglass, mini puzzle, Clive Barker situation full of really angry ghosts and his ex-wife. And they got to figure out how to get out and stay alive. The end.
Okay, it's not his ex-wife. They're still married at the time.
Well, I figure
time
once you're dead, you're an ex.
Is that how it works?
His former wife. Is it still your wife after you were like crispified and thrown in an oven? I don't know.
These are important questions.
Now,
had you obviously hadn't seen this before.
I've seen this many times.
You have seen this?
Many times.
Oh, okay. There you go. Then regale us. When do you think the first time was that you saw this movie? Give us a lowdown.
You know what? And for sure not the theater. It was probably on HBO or something. And I probably flopped down in the middle and I went, what is this shit?
And then watched it multiple times. Each time was the first time?
Because sometimes you're just laying there and you don't have the energy to push the button.
I see.
So you just let it roll.
This movie, I believe I did see in the theater, if I'm being entirely truthful. There was a period of time in the late 90s, early 2000s, where there were these kind of horror movies that were coming out, where it was kind of like, we're going to scoop up some like young celebs to be in these movies. The other one was House on Haunted Hill, the remake of that as well, where they have the same kind of like almost an MTV kind of aesthetic going on there, where there's a lot of like strobes and there's some like, you know, there's
a disco.
It's a little bit like a disco, like a rave or something. Like that's the kind of aesthetic they're going for. The other movie was, like I said, the House of Haunted Hill, the remake, which were both William Castle movies from the 60s. Yeah. And I was like, what a bizarre coincidence. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. Joel Silver and Robert Zemeckis formed a company called Dark Castle Entertainment, where their initial plan was to make, like, remake William Castle movies. Okay? And after these first two were horrible failures, they shifted away from that plan and did not make any more. It was just these first two. So, there you go. Good times.
I just thought it was dumb. Why is everybody so angry? How is it that every ghost is angry except his ex-wife ghost?
This
Everybody
got to
be
question.
A dick. Everybody got to be a dick. Because the description doesn't say baseball boy. Are they just angry at F. Murray Abraham? I'm like, F. Murray Abraham got I don't know if he was nominated or won, the Academy Award.
Yes, he
okay?
did. He won.
Let's
he
just
won.
Put that out there. He's one of the hardest working men in showing, but I'm a fucking deus. And now he's doing 13 Ghosts. And Tony Shalhoub, I think he was still riding high on his monk, which I never saw.
This was Wings. This was Wings.
Shalhoub. Oh my God. Is that how old this is?
This is, well, I shouldn't say that. It might be monk time, but from where I knew him, He was Antonio Scarpacci, the immigrant cab driver on Wings for several seasons.
So racist.
It was, considering he's Lebanese. But he's you know, he does whatever you need him to do. He'll be on The Marvelous Miss Maisel if you need him to play Jewish. He'll do whatever you need. He's an actor. It's acting.
He's an actor. I'm acting. Well, how would Wings play out with, like, the people from Texas and the South just dumping immigrants now up there?
I don't think they're dumping people from Italy, Antonio Scarpacci.
Oh, not Scarpacci. I'm talking about they're in Nantucket. And yes. Then remember the asshole from Florida or whatever sent a whole bunch of people up to Nantucket.
And then they did that to Sacramento recently. Did you see that? They doubled down. Anyway, this is not a politics podcast.
Can we just, you know, we had a prison overcrowding. Can we offer people a free pass and then dump them in Florida?
Is that how we're doing it now?
I think quid pro quo, Clarice.
I don't believe. Did he say that in that movie? Did Hannibal Lecter say quid pro quo? Maybe he did. I'm not quoting him.
Come on, brother.
I need to get it together.
I mean, anywho. I feel bad for the immigrants, but I understand that they're taking the people on the border, I understand, are hitting all the immigrants, but you're in effect just kidnapping people and dumping them. It's just so wrong.
Again, not a politics podcast. I'm trying to keep it light. Light only the murders and mayhem of 13 ghosts.
Well,
if you
once
please.
Again, we'll tell them they can go live with Donald Trump or O.J. Simpson.
Those
all
are your choices. They'll be running back over that border.
We're gonna let you out. You won't even be on parole. We're gonna just wash our hands. Just stay out of California. But I'm gonna write you a check if you then just go to Florida.
Interesting. Moving right along. Highlights.
You said
highlights.
Immigrants.
I that's the buzzword. What do you got for 13 ghosts? Anything?
I mean,
okay.
What's a juggernaut? What's a juggernaut?
Do you want to know what the definition of a juggernaut is?
Yes.
Okay. The definition of a juggernaut is like an unstoppable force. It's like something that cannot be contained. That's what a juggernaut is.
Like childbirth?
Okay.
What does it have nails in its head?
That's not the juggernaut. That's the hammer. The hammer's got the nails.
Why is he? I thought if you're a hammer, everyone else is the nail. Why are you just hitting yourself on the head with it?
Okay. We need to talk about this.
I mean, these are supposed to be people. These are spirits of people that were alive.
Yes, that's correct. They died in horrible, gruesome ways. In many cases. So, okay.
But except for his wife who died in the hospital.
I'm trying to set the stage here for somebody who may not have seen the movie. It's hopeless.
She could have been two-faced. Does she have a coin that she flipped?
She has a coin. They don't talk about it. Okay. Evil Uncle Cyrus, at the beginning of the movie, is kidnapping spirits, ghosts, and putting them in these containment cubes.
Like Ghostbusters.
Kind of like Ghostbusters, essentially. But the cubes are like, they're like jail cells, essentially, with plexiglass.
And why do they need all that space when they are just, in fact, a spirit? Couldn't they fit in a thimble?
I think you have to shove them in there first to get them to fit in there. So I don't know if a thimble will get the job done.
Smush them down? I mean, do they take up space?
According to this movie, aren't they like
a vapor or something? They got to be able to pace around.
Not in this movie. In this movie, they have physical. They're like invisible unless you wear the fancy glasses. But they can still affect you. Like, there's the scene where the girl, Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie, is being attacked by the ghost with the weird, like, birdcage on his head. She can't see anything, but there's, like, scratches appearing as the creature is, like, clawing at her.
And how is that a ghost with a birdcage? So someone died with a birdcage? Or they were buried with a birdcage?
It's not a birdcage. I guess it's like kind of like the pre-Hannibal Lecter kind of thing. Because I think the person was in like a straitjacket or something. So it was like, you're too crazy. So we're putting this cage around your head so you can't chew on people. You got
the bites? Yeah, there you go.
I guess, but you never see that person biting on anybody.
All right.
So yeah. This guy is, at the beginning of the movie, is trying to capture the spirit that is called Breaker. Evidently, because it just breaks, snaps people. There's a lot of him snapping people in two, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
In this. To summon the Breaker spirit, they literally drive a tanker truck into this old junkyard and proceed to spray blood from the tanker truck.
They're chumming the waters.
But how much blood is in a damn tanker truck? How much murder did they also commit murder and just drain people of their blood? It would be gallons.
And blood congeals.
Maybe they have like a churning kind of situation going on in the...
Then it'd be like bloody cottage cheese. I mean,
1,000 people's worth of blood? 10,000 people's worth of blood?
Are people working in the junkyard, or is it just the haunted junkyard?
It's the haunted junkyard.
Did he bend people in half only when he's a spirit? Or was he like the strong man at the circus who just bent you like Stretch Armstrong or something?
This
like
is a question.
Gumby or a Pokey.
F. Murray Abraham is evil Uncle Cyrus, and he's brought along Matthew Lillard, who's some sort of psychic who can detect the spirits or whatever. So when Matthew Lillard gets there, he's like, "What the hell, man? You told me he only killed 9 people. There's got to be 40 bodies, you know, dead here." And the guy's like, "Well, he continued to kill after he was dead."
So is he burying the bodies after he's dead? And if this dude's a psychic, how come he didn't know that he was going to get killed doing this? And
he later did.
Get the money.
He later.
It was a little too late.
A little too late. That is true. He should have known that the guy was going to welch on him. But he later in the movie starts to have premonitions like, oh, damn. But by then,
it was
too little too late, some might argue. This plot kind of stretches credulity, one might argue.
Oh, my God.
Correct?
Oh, my God. If old Uncle Cyrus had just used all the money that he used to make this crazy Clive Barker puzzle box home, he could have been president of the United States and had all the power to begin with.
That's correct. Well, they said that Uncle Cyrus squandered the family fortune, building...
puzzle box.
Building the crazy... So, okay. His nephew, Arthur Kritikos, I'm sure I'm messing up these names. Arthur Kritikos is played by... Maybe? F. Murray Abraham, also Lebanese, by the way.
Also, it's an all-Lebanese cast.
It's the top three members of the call sheet are all Arab Americans, by the way, including Shannon Elizabeth is the other one, shockingly enough. So there you go. It's diversity.
Is she also Lebanese?
I'm not sure if she's Lebanese. She might be. Who's to say? But so anyway, he gets the call.
No Kardashians. They're Armenian, though.
They're Armenian. That's different. Arthur gets the call that he's gotten this gift, like bequeathed on his uncle's death. But we have to talk about how the movie starts, where we're introduced to Arthur and his family. Shannon Elizabeth's his 25-year-old daughter, and then he's got some 8-year-old son. So there's a little bit of a difference
and then
between these two.
A lady who I couldn't figure out, is that his oldest daughter's lover?
No. Okay.
How is she the housekeeper who does nothing?
Okay, we gotta go back. So there's a montage where we're kind of introducing Arthur and his wife and their kids, where the kids are in the backyard. Oh, you're the best brother ever. And the husband and wife go, oh, I love you. I love you so much. It's very saccharine as the camera pans around and you see their idyllic home turn into essentially a crack den. And there's the reveal of that she burned in the fire, his wife. Right. His wife died in a fire. And now it cuts to like, there's the wall, bills past due, you know, final notice. So evidently his wife was the primary breadwinner in the family, evidently. So he lost that income.
But they could afford a housekeeper who doesn't keep house.
A live-in housekeeper/nanny, Mary Poppins, when he's like, I'm a math teacher. And yes, we've had to move into this crack den. And yes, I cannot pay our bills.
Math teachers living in this crack den.
With a live-in nanny slash housekeeper of some sort.
It's ding dong. It's ding dong from the minute it starts. You're like, okay.
It is. It makes little sense at that point. So they go, the lawyer shows up and says, hey, here's the, you know, you've been bequeathed this fancy house. It's only 2 hours away. What, 2 hours away from where I work? That's going to be a bit of a commute. Yeah. A bit of a commute, one might argue. And I have to say, when they see the house, it's pretty cool how they designed this place to look. What would you say? I mean, the production design, it's not bad.
It's very cool. It's all like translucent and open with spells into the glass. There's no privacy. Let me just say that.
Right. That's true. They talked about that.
As a kid, I started dressing in the bathroom because I had too many posters up in my room, and I felt like all the teeny boppers were staring at me while I was changing. That's
true. Sean Cassidy was staring at you.
Sean Cassidy was looking at me lustfully, along with Leif Garrett. And then, but in this, no. You're just changing in front of the front window, is basically, or taking a crud in front of the front window.
That's what I was saying. You're voiding your bowels in a room with translucent, some would argue transparent, plexiglass all around.
You taking a shit. What? Is there a reason why it had to be transparent?
You're seeing all the plumbing. It's very upsetting.
You're seeing all the plumbing.
In all sorts of.
The expansion and the contraction.
Oh, sweet Jesus. This took a dark turn. So, yes. So there's later, you know, of course, there's Matthew Lillard is there like trying to get into the house because he was stiffed. Cyrus was murdered when they captured the 12th ghost. So Lillard's like, hey, I didn't get paid. So now I'm trying to break into Cyrus's house under false pretenses to find some money, a blank check.
They were coming. He was purposely there to meet them.
You think so? It was just a coincidence. So you think he was there to meet them, not just coincidentally? Right. Interesting.
Because it wasn't a matter of just being able to break into the house. He needs them to get inside.
Now he gets Arthur, Tony Shalhoub, gets a key to the house, but it's like a one shot deal. He puts the key in and the key's like sucked in and the door opens up.
ATM card.
Like your ATM card where like you're not paying attention and it sucks it in and doesn't give it back to you. So
and now it's Friday and the bank's closed. You bastards!
That happened to me once where you're sitting there, you know, you've gotten your money out and you're kind of doing something in your wallet. And meanwhile, it's going beep, 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 telling you, take that card, take the card. And I waited too long and it sucked my card up. Did not give it back to me. This is years ago. So it will not let you just leave your card there.
I mean, because there's good points to that.
There is a good reason for it. Absolutely. They don't want to leave that for the oxy addict, since those are the only people walking the streets these days.
I mean, I walked away with my ATM in the machine, and it got sucked inside. And you had to block the cancel the card. You got to wait. And it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. So be that as it may. So Tony Shalhoub's like, whatever, cool. We're going to have this house. Shannon Elizabeth is like, this is my room, jumping in the bed. And I guess there are the spirits we discover are locked down in the basement in these, like we said, like these cells. Later in the movie, what's her name? Kalina shows up. We met Kalina at the beginning of the movie because she was the one who says some very kind of cryptic things at the beginning of the movie. This is slavery. You can't treat ghosts this way. I mean, she's like the people for the ethical treatment of ghosts. Is that what it is? We don't know what this means at the time. But she reappears later.
She's the chick who I always think is Sarah Paulson.
She's not Sarah Paulson. You know her because she was in Schindler's List and she was in Army of Darkness, were the two things I saw
You know, which, I love the Army of Darkness.
Well, I mean, compare that as you're on your IMDb. I went from Army of Darkness to Schindler's List to 13 Ghosts.
It's a fast slide. But I gotta say, well, Schindler's List, you're gonna watch once, and then you're never gonna watch it again. I don't even know why I released it on DVD back in the day. What are you gonna, like, pop it on a Saturday, just watch it over and over again? No, you're never gonna see that again.
Yes,
Army of Darkness.
Multiple views.
You can just put that on a loop. But I think we need to go back to Shannon Elizabeth or whatever the her name is flopping around the bed. So are we to understand that the ghost died there? The naked lady ghost? Then why is it all set up with the I'm sorry and blood is everywhere and she's in the bathtub watching all of this?
It's hard to know because
none of the other ghosts have that situation where they have their room.
The ghost isn't even messing because she can't see the ghost.
Right.
So she's in the bathroom washing her face for 5 minutes. She's in the bathroom turning on the tub just to rub her hand. I don't know what the hell she was doing. Meanwhile, it cuts to what the audience can see is like there's blood splattered all over the walls. There's blood all over the floor. Words written in the blood.
I mean, there's perfume. I have to assume that this ghost is F. Murray Abraham's lover. Nobody else has a room. Why would there be a bathroom with women's perfume that all set up like this?
Just to be scary. That's all it's about. It's a scary place.
All I can say is that this was a ghost. It was a personal ghost. And I think this would have been more interesting.
Perhaps.
I mean, so you don't see a baseball field in the back where little Jimmy
maybe
goes.
They should. Who's to say?
But none of the ghosts have their own bedroom. This ghost has a bedroom.
She does not have a bedroom. She's down in the garage, in the basement, and then kind of walks
she was
upstairs.
She's sitting in the bathtub. Well, what I'm saying.
Yes.
This is a room with a bathroom with people's personal property. There is no woman living in this house, at least not anymore.
Well, I mean, who's the question is. Because it's later revealed that Kalina, who you think is on the side of goodness and righteousness, is actually working with evil Uncle Cyrus in a way that makes absolutely no sense.
They're knocking boots, but again, she wouldn't have her own room. This was like
maybe who's to say? Maybe Uncle Cyrus is like, you know, we can do the bone dance, but then you got to go to your room. I need my private space. There's no cuddling when we're done. You got to hit the bricks. Go back to your room.
Why does it say I'm sorry? I'm telling you, this ghost.
Because she commits. I think it's revealed she killed herself, but I don't think she killed herself
in that room. I'm going down to the end that this is my theory. Nobody else has their own room in this house.
I'm just going to tell you, you're wrong because I've read the literature. Oh, there was a backstory about all of the characters. And if you want me to, I will read it later during behind the scenes.
I'm telling you, then that just makes the story make even less sense.
Yes. Stipulated.
We'll just go with that. Stipulate.
Stipulated. Well, because again, yes. And okay.
Because I like that ghost. She was creepy because she had like those, like she'd stare at you like she was a cat. The way she'd just stare at that lady as she was walking around, it was totally like one of my cats, just like looking at you with their black alien eyes.
I got to tell you, I wasn't looking in her eyes.
Shut your mouth.
We haven't even established. She is the naked ghost. Because this is 2001. Of course, we're going to have a bare-ass naked ghost wandering the halls constantly. Now, she had, like, kind of cuts on herself. But not too bad.
She's all sliced a bit. But
push comes to shove, you know.
There
are
many times where she looks like she's CGI, though, also.
They might have done a little touch-up on her to make her. It was probably, like, her thing is all practical. They actually did put makeup on her, on her naked body. Because I was literally like, did they hire kind of a skinny actress and kind of put her in kind of a buxom scar suit? Or is this literally just a naked chick that they, you know, then put like makeup scars on her or something. Because there was like through one nipple. Yeah. I mean, she was so no.
She was all chewed up. And that's a lot of cuts, especially on your back if it's a suicide.
I mean, yeah, you wouldn't do it that way.
Yeah, that's not, I would think not.
You wouldn't, no one would commit suicide that way. I'm going to keep stabbing myself.
I'm going to have to, only to get to the back, I'm going to have to like stick the knife in a door and scratch myself.
Right. Like a back scratcher. Where I'll get every nook and cranny.
Exactly. No. That's why that didn't, also, again, doesn't make sense.
None of it. This movie, look, it doesn't make sense. Stipulated. That's the cold hard reality.
Stipulated.
So again, Kalina reveals that evil Uncle Cyrus has created this house, but it's not really a house. It is a machine that was
at Azkaban Prison.
It is a machine created by somebody who wrote down the plans while they were possessed by the devil. And it's right. And it's devil, powered.
He's so gossipy and chit chatty. You just have it's to get true. Him talking.
And it's powered by the ghosts of 12 ghosts, basically what it is. It powers it. And this machine.
So I don't need solar if I could just get some refrigerators with ghosts in my crawl space.
That's all you need. That's all you need. All right. And it's supposedly when the 13th. When the 13th ghost, the titular 13th ghost, is a living person who sacrifices themselves, okay, to get the full power. Now, it's told to us that the 13th person is kind of the fail-safe. Like, if somebody tries to use the machine, then if a willing person sacrifices themselves, it'll shut down the machine. But that's a lie. It's revealed later the 13th one is the final lock, a key in the lock to cause it to be like, it's called the eye of hell will be
Sauron,
created.
I think is what
the
it's
eye
called.
Of Sauron. And you'll be able to see into the future or something. It was kind of,
first of all, why would you ever believe that these people are going to tell you the truth?
Well, I mean, that is true. They keep running. Look, it's a family who go to this weird house and they're constantly meeting people, weirdos and freaks. That they're just like, I guess
they're
I just have to
social.
Believe you.
Yeah,
I have to believe social. You because what else am I going to do? I got Matthew Lillard foaming at the mouth and rolling on the floor. I got to believe him. I got to meet Kalina. And Kalina kept throwing like flares at the ghosts. Did the flares do something special? I don't know what these flares are doing. But the ghosts are like, ooh, I better get away. You're throwing a flare at me. No explanation.
Again. No goddamn sense. And people love this fucking movie. People love this movie. All your homies on the interweb will be like, what? It's going to be a John Carter fiasco all over again.
I think you're going to be in for an unpleasant surprise. I can't imagine anybody's like, look, I ride or die with 13 ghosts.
13
if you
ghosts,
ask me what one
if
movie
only Rob
I get to
Zombie
watch.
Could do it, could remake 13 ghosts.
Yes. Absolutely. I think we can all agree on that, for goodness sake. The ghosts seemingly represent, what is it? The signs of the Black Zodiac, which is not a thing, by the way. It's made up. And it
I
was
did,
just,
in fact, do some Googling between that.
Lay it on me.
An ectobar glass.
Ectobar. They just toss that out because he's trying to get out of the place by smashing the glass. And he's like, whoa, whoa, bro, come on. This is ectobar glass. And just like, okay, is that supposed to mean some shit to me?
Drops the mic, walks off.
It is unbreakable and it's soundproof.
It's unbreakable unless you break it.
Unless you break, well, when they blow up the place at the end, it was breaking.
The glass was breaking.
Ectobar glass, which I don't think that's what holds the ghosts in anyway. What holds them in is the spells written on, right? There's containment spells written on all the glass.
Why don't they put a calm down spell on it too? So they're not just walking around hitting things. How about be chill spell? Is there not that?
There's not a be chill spell.
Be zen.
There is not. I'm sad to say. There's only two spells that we see in this movie. There's the containment spells that the ghosts can't get through, and then there's the summoning spells, which make the ghosts come to you and lay there and suck the juice out of them. I don't know who wrote this.
Again, why are they all so angry? Because the bratty little kid who's running wild, you go into a mansion, he's on a frickin' scooter, tearing up, beautiful, and no one says, what the f*** are you doing, kid? Giving him a slap and throwing that shit outside. Are you raised by savages? Do you go into someone's mansion and start kicking around with a kick scooter? Come on.
The floor is Ectobar glass. So I guess it can't be nicked by your crazy scooters banging into it constantly?
It's a little sassafras who triggered the whole thing going between that and the attorney.
Yes. Well, okay. So that the attorney who brings them there suddenly just goes rogue and is like, I'm going down to the basement because I figure there'll be a bag of cash laying around.
Yeah.
Right.
I just happen to know. And then it became Indiana Jones when you steal the icon. It triggers the giant bowling ball.
It was literally like if the attorney now, conceivably, Matthew Lillard would have gone down there to snatch the bag as well. I guess, right? They go down there and lifts up the thing, and it's like Goonies. It's a Rube Goldberg type of situation where it's like the petals pop up when he lifts up the bag. He, of course, doesn't notice. And all the clockwork stuff that's going on in the building, which I thought was actually kind of cool. Whenever they cut to like a clockwork thing moving,
yeah.
I was kind of into it. I thought it looked really interesting.
Went to that. Not to the writing.
Not to the script. But again, all the house looked cool. And of course, they take it and now like metal plates are starting to close over the outside. Because I thought we already established that the glass was unbreakable. But okay. So some metal plates to slide down over it as well.
Just in case.
Why not?
Just in case, you know.
Well, you think you'd want that to happen just so you get a little privacy every now and again. Right? So I don't have to have the neighbors peeking in at me every second of the day. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. I'm going to trigger this just to get a moment's peace. No?
I just need it to be a little bit dark. Because the spells are like glowing and I need to get some fucking rest.
Constantly glowing. So we have to talk about the glass. Do you know what the significance of the glasses are that they're constantly wearing?
Because you can see the fucking ghosts. What do you mean?
In the original 13 Ghosts movie, okay?
There were 3D. Wasn't it a 3D movie?
It wasn't 3D, but you had to wear glasses. Like the ghosts, they kind of superimposed kind of ghostly images every now and again. But you could only see them when you put on like the red glasses. And then the ghostly images would really be more visible. Like as an audience member, I'm talking about.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
And then when you put on just the blue glasses,
then you couldn't see
the ghosts.
That's the old 3D. One eye is red, one eye is blue.
Right. Traditionally, that's how they did it. The way they did it for this movie in the 60s, 1960s, 13 Ghosts, they gave you two different sets of glasses. And you were expected to take one off and put the other on at various times.
How did you know what to do? And is it like smell-o-vision?
It's like the tingler. Do you remember the tingler? The tingler. Yeah.
After the sock hop, Chucky and I went down to the theater. It was the Blob and the tingler.
The tingler.
Because I'm 108.
I can't imagine that was the next movie they were going to remake, The Tingler.
That sounds like a porno.
Sweet Jesus. It does sound like a porno. It is. Sadly, it is not.
That would have been fun. Is Bob Guccione still around? Forget all that Caligula. You need to have Tingler, the next Penthouse film.
Forget all that Caligula. Exactly.
Malcolm McDowell's still kicking around. You can put him in The Tingler.
The Tingler. I saw The Tingler. It was on one of those AMC Not AMC, TMC, right? What is the Turner Classic Movies? TCM. And I watched it, and it's about a like centipede like thing that's as long as your arm that will attach itself to your spine when you're unawares. I don't know how you'd be unawares with a three foot centipede on your back, but who's to say? And what would happen is the only way to survive it, because it would suck, I don't know, suck your life force or suck your juices or do something bad. The only way to survive it is you'd have to scream. If you screamed long and loud enough, eventually the tingler
was not going to scream. What a giant fucking earwig is on your back. Who's not going to scream?
I can't answer that. Vincent Price. And if you screamed, eventually the tingler would fall off. So what William Castle did, the director, producer of these things, writer, or whatever, is at certain theaters, they put like a joy buzzer on the seats.
And they give you,
so you're in there, tingle. And you get a little zapperoo right up the keister. And during the end of the movie... like Vincent Price like turns to the audience like, oh my God, I see a tingler in the crowd or something along those lines. Scream, scream, scream for your life. And then of course, so that was kind of the, right. Yeah. They're not remaking the goddamn tingler. Spoiler alert. So there you go.
They made enough trash. I was all excited to go see The Boogeyman, but I see it's got like shite ratings.
Yeah. We were going to go on a podcast to talk about The Boogeyman. And I got a message from our homies over at Peace Get Together Pod. And they said, it's
shit.
They're like, because he told us, and he's a good guy. He just basically said he likes to do these movies that kind of have kind of a, you know, like a, it's in the zeitgeist. Like people are talking about it. Ooh, hey.
Ain't nobody talking about it.
That's what he said. He's like, no one gives a damn about The Boogeyman. Now that's cool. No worries. We'll reconnect later in the summer to do a different movie. He's like,
I was like, boom, it's out. Let me go check it out. And I was like,
wah,
62%. I mean, it's right up there with one more nail in the coffin to all things made that came out of, what is it? Night Shift.
They're going to remake the Graveyard Shift.
They all are guaranteed to be a stinkler.
It's guaranteed to be a stinkler. So very upsetting.
I have a note here, friend.
Yes, please.
I said, Boxhead Lady makes your boob pop out. What does that mean?
The jackal, which I don't think it's even a lady. It was a dude with long hair. Clawing, scratching at it.
Okay.
No. He's attacking Shannon Elizabeth in the hall. Remember, she can't see anything.
Pop out?
So it's like, you know, three claw marks here, three claw marks here. And it was a lot of scratch, scratch, scratch. And eventually you see like half her bra dislodged. No. You think there would be a nip slip, because when Shannon Elizabeth was famous for being naked in American Pie, she obviously said, no, no, no. You can give the hint that you might see something, but no.
No Miss Jackson if you're nasty?
No Miss Jackson if you're nasty. She basically said, you already have the naked ghost. Just go show her a few more times. I ain't getting naked again. You're done. You're done. So when Kalina is revealed to have been secretly working with Cyrus.
Which made no goddamn sense.
Which made no sense.
Master Cyrus, I have angered you, my lord.
Yes.
My doctor.
Are you mad at me? Why are you mad at me? She was very upset about it. And he later just kills her for no reason.
He's like, I don't give a...
He does. He like, you know, oh, go get the book for me. And she goes and gets the book, and he walks back and he closes the door on her, and then there's like a pneumatic press and she just gets squished for no reason, just because he's a dick. He's a dick, or he's a serial killer, or both. There was nothing he gathered from it other than I'm a really bad guy. I even kill my allies for no reason. So there you go. But the twist is that you think, again, Cyrus, we think, was killed in the opening scene. And then you see him wandering around the house, kind of with a big old neck wound, kind of glowering every now and again. But then, of course, you realize you don't need the glasses to see him. Which tells you he's not a real ghost.
What was the point of him pretending to die?
It took me some time to piece this together. He pretends to die. He fakes his death in order to get his nephew and their family into the house. Because it's later revealed that the dead wife at the beginning of the movie was the fourth ghost that he captured.
Right.
So that was, he was, you know, obviously Arthur was very upset that his wife.
But you're not really volunteering if you're coerced.
Well, it's,
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
In order to save my children, I jump in the thing. That's not just, I'm just going to do this. This is, I don't have a choice.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. I yeah.
You're right.
Yes.
Shenanigans.
Well, because it's like, it has to be a sacrifice of love is the idea. I love my children so much that I will throw myself into the meat grinder. But you're right. If he's not like happy to do it, as Gandhi said once, you will do it with joy in your heart or you will do it not at all. And it's true.
I can't even live by that. I still got to get paid.
That was when, if you haven't seen Gandhi lately, towards the end of the movie, when he was living like impoverished and, you know, all that stuff, his wife was kind of like, whoa, you want me to dig the ditches as well? I'm not doing that. And he said, and he angrily said,
he was an attorney. She was like, they were living the good life.
She thought she was living the good life. And he's like, no, now I'm living in rags in a shanty, and this is what we're doing now. And she's like, whoa. So she had her moment. And Gandhi could have handled it differently, you know? So there you have it.
Still going to live in poverty, but I am still going to screw around just a little bit.
Just a little. Well, and I'll give you some time to come to grips with my new decision. I'm not going to be like, get out there and start shoveling. What are you talking about?
I'm gonna get you with a switch. What are you going to do?
That's right.
Aye.
Anyway, so we cover all sorts of topics.
I decided I'm not going to get married to a holy man. That's too much.
It's hard work. What if it's like the love guru, like Mike Myers? Would you marry him? He's a holy person.
Good.
Right?
First of all, Mike Myers. No.
No.
Michael Myers?
No, I'm not talking about the actor Mike Myers. I'm talking about the horribly offensive and racist caricature that he played in the movie Love Guru. That's what I'm talking about.
No, not so much.
Any other thoughts and feelings before we move on?
No, it's
with
like
our lives?
You're gonna give a BJ to Jesus? I mean, that's not hot.
Oh, whoa! This took a dark turn.
That's just all I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough. Any last thoughts and feelings before we go behind the scenes? Sweet Jesus.
It's not hot to be married to a religious high monkey.
Well, that's not why you do it. You don't do it because it's hot. This is hot stuff. Okay, I'm going behind the scenes.
You think your partner is hot, right?
I guess so. Moving on.
I mean, I guess you could lower your expectation. At least he doesn't fart while he eats. I don't know.
Who's to say? Behind the scenes. We talked about this briefly. In the movie, the characters need special glasses to see the ghosts. In the original 13 Ghosts, viewers needed special glasses to see the ghosts. This is one of the few details from the original that was kept. So there you go.
Yes.
One of the ghosts was called the Torso, and it was the effect for the ghost that was called the Torso was achieved using a double amputee wearing a special black hood that could be used to digitally remove his head.
That sounds
so terrible. There you go.
That's not hot either.
Many viewers complained that the movie had a lot of strobe lighting and flashy editing, making it physically painful to sit through.
Oh, that's not what made it physically painful to sit through.
Uh-oh, hey. Of all the creature makeup created for the film, the Angry Princess, which was the naked chick, required the longest time to apply at 5 hours.
Well, because every 15 minutes, the key grips had to come over and moisturize her.
They volunteered. This was, interestingly enough, this is the only movie she ever did. The actress who played
she's
the
like, that's
princess.
It. I'm fucking
I'm good. Nurses. I'm good. She's an accountant nowadays.
Yeah, so she's like,
I'm done.
You get your taxes done, and she's staring at you with her dead shark eyes.
It's true. The actor who plays the Hammer, another one of the ghosts, was not originally hired as the actor, but as a stand-in for reference and test shots. But then the original actor never showed up, so that he was just given the role.
Is that a thing that people just don't show up? And if you're hanging around the parking lot, now you're in the movie?
Now you're in the movie!
Move.
The writing etched on one of the walls in the glass house translates to read the Lord's Prayer. So there you go.
That's nice. It all looked like Lord of the Rings jib jab to me.
Absolutely. Let's see. Shot a lawyer who I said lawyer. Oh, I guess that's just how you pronounce it. L-O-Y-E-R. She was the one who played the angry princess who's now an accountant. People thought that she was played by a porn actress using a pseudonym, but that's incorrect. Although there was... The 13 Erotic Ghosts, released in 2002, in case you're curious about that. It's a good times.
See, I can work in the porn industry, and I just come up with the name and the basic story, and then someone gives me money, and then away we go. I'm an ideas person.
The budget and opening weekend gross and box office gross overall of this film are virtually identical, within $1 million, to that of House on Haunted Hill 1999, which was released almost exactly 2 years earlier. Both movies were adapted from stories written by Rob White and originally directed by William Castle. There you go. Coincidence?
I prefer the original one.
Duncan MacLeod's Dragon Katana from Highlander appears as one of the swords in Cyrus's collection.
Very nice. I would have stolen that. If I was on set, I would have stolen that.
This was Steve Beck's directorial debut. After it, Beck would direct only one more film, the similarly themed Ghost Ship in 2002.
Oh, Lord, I didn't see it. Well, no, you know what? I might have seen Ghost Ship. The chick from ER was in it. Margulies, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think so. I think I may have seen it.
The actress who played the nanny slash housekeeper, Rod Digga, this was her last acting role. She did not desire to pursue a full-time acting career and stuck with her passion for music.
At least two people out of the business.
That is correct.
They're like, I'm never doing this shit again.
Shannon Elizabeth is 1 year younger than Rod Digga, who played her nanny.
Tony Shalhoub.
Absolutely. Sweet Jesus.
That's why I thought it was like it was a joke, like it was the nanny, when it's really just the older sister's girlfriend.
They could have come up with a better plan for who that character was. The whole that she's a nanny housekeeper makes absolutely no sense.
It literally seemed like they needed to put a black woman in this movie. So they just threw her in and with no real explanation, nor did she really do anything in it.
No. I mean, look, I appreciate them trying to come up with kind of a more diverse cast because it really was becoming 13 ghosts so white.
Yeah. Put a little bit more effort. Because she was clearly the most entertaining person, but then you didn't do anything with her.
Right. Frankly, I mean, Shannon Elizabeth was a bit
less
fat
Tony
zero
Shalhoub.
In this. She didn't do anything in this.
Tony Shalhoub sucked. Everybody sucked.
No, poor Tony Shalhoub.
Lady.
I disagree.
He's not dead.
He's fine. Let's talk about the cast, shall we?
I believe
Tony Shalhoub. You know him from Monk. So he became Monk after this, from 2002 to 2009, 125 episodes. He was the voice of Splinter in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, good Lord. 2014. He was Freddie Reidenschneider in The Man Who Wasn't There in 2001.
I did see that.
He was Frank Haddad in The Siege in 1998. No. It's not talking about the things we really know him from. He was Antonio Scarpacci in Wings, as we said. He was great on Wings. He was obviously great on The Fabulous Mrs. Maisel, still to this day. He's all over the place. So good times. Let's see. Shannon Elizabeth plays Kathy Kritikos, the daughter of Tony Shalhoub. You know her. She was Nadia in American Pie.
Never saw it.
She was in the original Scary Movie in 2000.
Okay. I didn't see that.
She was in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
No.
2019.
So she's a stranger to me.
She is not a stranger to you. She was in Love Actually. She was one of the sexy American chicks.
Oh.
Remember the guy goes to
Wisconsin?
Goes to Wisconsin because he thinks that the women will find his accent cute. And he's correct.
And he is correct. I always, when I was overseas, I'm like, no matter how crazy looking you were, you show up in America with that British accent, some woman will take you home.
Someone will take you home. And he was right. Kalina Oretzia was played by, and I always mess up her name, Embeth DeWitts, who is an American South African actress. And you know her from, she was Sheila in Army of Darkness. She was Little Miss Portia.
That's the girlfriend, right?
Yes. You found me beautiful once. Baby, you just got real ugly.
fantastic.
Bicentennial Man. She was in the Europa Report as Dr. Unger. She was in Matilda as Miss Honey. And they don't even talk about this. She was in Schindler's List, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that was not a top choice.
Clearly not. I don't know what the deal is here.
Who was she in Schindler's List?
She was like the Jewish.
Oh my God. Is this the one with Ralph Fiennes?
Yes.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yes. Yes.
That
horrible.
Was very conflicting because Ralph Fiennes was very attractive then, but he was such a monster. So you were like,
awful. You shouldn't be that conflicted, Aaron, in all honesty, for goodness sake. Matthew Lillard played Dennis Rafkin, the psychic. You know him from Scooby-Doo. He's Shaggy the movies as the live-action actor, but he's also the voice.
I used to have the Shaggy action figure.
He's also the voice of Shaggy in all the cartoons these days.
Okay, good for him. He's very tall. I looked him up. He's like 6'3".
He's super tall. He was Steve-O in SLC Punk. Yeah, no, exactly. He's like your compatriot. he was Brian Spear in The Descendants, but I knew him primarily because he was in Scream.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was one of the killers in the original Scream movie. Spoiler alert. And let's see. Rod Digga played Maggie Bess, the housekeeper slash nanny. You know her from 13 Ghosts. She did the soundtrack for Blade 2, soundtrack is Scary Movie, soundtrack for Friday After Next. She's primarily a musician.
All right. She was good. I enjoyed her. They just didn't do anything with her.
Right. That's a reoccurring issue in this movie, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
F. Murray Abraham played Cyrus Kritikos. You know him? One Oscar. From Amadeus, he played Antonio Salieri. He was famously quoted as saying, if you win an Oscar, people think all these doors open for you. And really, what happens is you get to audition for a lot more things, but they're not giving you a lot more roles. You know what I mean?
He was an interesting character, but he's not, I don't even know what to say. He's not like a leading man attractive.
Right.
But he's an amazing actor.
Absolutely.
He was just in The White Lotus, the one in Sicily.
For years he was on Homeland, that show with Mandy Patinkin.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. I loved Homeland.
Absolutely.
Claire Danes plays crazy like Claire Danes, man. She's a wizard.
She's a wizard. Are that crazy? You know him from Grand Budapest Hotel. He played Mr. Mustafa. He was Miss Mighty Aphrodite. He was like the leader of like the Greek chorus, if I remember correctly. Obviously, he was Antonio Salieri in Amadeus. He was Bud Grossman in Inside Llewyn Davis. And other
things. These are all amazing choices. So why he chose to do this? Because he's normally, I'm only going to do good shit. Or I'll just sit home and be in my VR room. So it is surprising after listening to the list of good stuff that he did that he ended up here.
I mean, it is what it is, right? That's all what it is. Shall we talk about the ratings?
Yeah, lay it on me.
13 ghosts. Currently. 18% on the Rotten Tomato meter. Do you know what the audiences gave it?
16, 24, 5.
Keep guessing. 49%. The audience gave it.
It's just not. I mean, if it's Halloween and it happens to be on and there's nothing else Halloween-y on during the Halloween season, not scary season or not spooky season, the Halloween season.
It's the Halloween season.
I have watched it while I'm doing other things. But otherwise, it kind of sucks. It's not overly gross. It's not inoffensive. No, it's not. I mean, if the Frighteners are not on, if the Frighteners are on, I'll watch that.
That is true. Roger Ebert.
I'll pretty much watch anything else, but it's not, I mean, this is a hard one because
it's not time for your rating, by the way. I'm still telling you what the top critics did.
I'm just giving you my top thoughts. Go ahead.
Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times says, the experience of watching the film is literally painful. It hurts the eyes and ears. 1 out of 4. That's upsetting. Let's see if we can find anybody else that's kind of interesting. Not really. Let's see. There's a critic whose name is Roger Moore of the Orlando Sentinel. It has only about 3 ghosts worth of scares. So there you go. This is important.
I mean, it wasn't so much scary as some of the ghosts were creepy. I was never scared.
Let's see. Neil Smith of BBC.com says, it substitutes the original's goofy camp for an orgy of gore, noise, and mindless mayhem. What do you think about that? Three out of five.
Three out of five?
Sorry, 2 out of 5.
Okay.
Two out of five.
Yeah, I like the old campy one. What's next? Are they going to start redoing the Harry Potter films?
They could. Why not? What is your rating of 13 ghosts, Sarah?
Oh, I'm going to put about 13 of them right up the creator's ass. So I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 juggernauts giving you the tingler.
All your reviews are about somebody getting something up an orifice. And I don't, and I, speaking for
I
myself
did just
and
watch
for
this
America,
whole thing on Mapplethorpe yesterday. So I'm all Mapplethorpe and
sit clearly. you sound like you hated this. I did not hate it by any stretch of the imagination.
It's worse. I'm totally like uninterested.
I think it's kind of fun. It doesn't make any sense. The performances, it's not really the performances, it's the writing.
I argue that there's no such thing as something as kind of fun. It either is fun or it is not fun.
I can say whatever the hell I want. You gave a damn missive about your opinions when it wasn't even your time to do so. I get half a sentence out and you're like, let me stop you right there. I got more to say.
I got this to say. This is for our other listeners. This is what I think about it.
Clearly. It's kind of fun. Like I said, the characterizations of the characters are not really anything. They're not really characters. But I thought the visuals were very interesting. I thought the ghosts were kind of funny. F. Murray like does his F. Murray funny. Things like knee slap funny. I was laughing and laughing.
I rolled up like a potato bug and rolled down the hall.
Down the hall. I'm going to give it, let's say, 2.5 bizarro unnecessary clockwork contraptions. Because that's really what this movie's about. It's like moment you get to the place. Because again, we didn't even talk about this. When they're at the junkyard at the beginning of the movie, all of like the helpers, like Cyrus has got a bunch of helpers, and they're all wearing kind of clear, transparent, like fireman coats for some reason. And they're seemingly only there so that the juggernaut breaker can just go and just kill them. Just snap them one after another. For no other reason, because we don't see any of these other characters again, other than like Matthew. No,
they're
Willard.
All the bait. They're all the bait.
They're all the bait.
So why do they have? Why did you have to go on Amazon special order special outfits for them?
It made no sense. Anyway, it's all style, not a lot of substance. I think it's kind of fun, like you said. If it's a Halloween, you're chilling at home flipping channels. You could do worse. You can do worse. It's not good. It's not like, let me tell my friends about this.
Oh, Kevin.
But it's kind of fun.
Case is on channel 13, but 13 Ghosts is on channel 9. What shall we do?
I would probably watch 13 Ghosts. Boom.
Over Basket Case?
Basket what? Case is a hard watch. Basket Case is a hard watch because it is the effect. It doesn't even have the visuals to make you go like, well, at least it has that. Because it's a lot of crazy, like, sock puppets of, like, weird. So that's all I have to say about that. Aaron, we have some viewer and listener comments, by the way.
Lay
I was
going to
do this
me.
Earlier, but I totally forgot. We're going to do this at the top of the show more often than not. Talking about The Last Starfighter that we released a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my God. That was so terrible.
James Becker says, saw it in the theater. Also still have the comic book adaptation after all these years.
I think because he has the comic book adaptation, that's why he has fond memories. Because he clearly hasn't seen it recently.
Dwayne Wick says, this was a great video rental back in the day. And don't touch that big shiny red button. He's right about that. The Death Blossom.
is that what you get at Outback Steakhouse? You get the Death Blossom?
You get the Death Blossom.
After you get the Awesome Blossom, you get the Death Blossom.
That's true.
The 10,000 calories of pure oil that go down the gullet.
They're mighty tasty, though. I'm not going to lie. David Rosen, our friend from the Piecing It Together podcast, he talks about how he promised to do a Piecing It Together episode on this if our patron ever gets to $100 a month. So, which is based on an inside joke, which I'm sure no one remembers from the first month of the podcast. So clearly, he will never be doing Last Starfighter on his
podcast.
Unless
we get a GoFundMe for his Patreon, just so we are forced to watch it all over again.
A Kickstarter. Absolutely. So thank you very much. Go to our page on Twitter. Go to our page on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. Check out all that good stuff. You can email us the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We are also on YouTube. It's something. You can watch us on YouTube or you can listen to our podcast or you can do both. Who's to say? I'm not going to limit you.
Simultaneously. Put it on every room of the house.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review. Won't you? Aaron,
please.
You're on social media. What are you doing?
I am on social media. I am on the Insta. I am the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I am also Don't Feed the Pigeon. And then commercially, I'm on Artsy and First Debs. Debs?
First Debs. That's an OnlyFans account.
First Dibs, Aaron Doherty. Go buy some of my Polaroid work. Boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Next week, we are doing the horror classic Speak No Evil, which you can watch. I looked this up because it was Aaron's choice, ladies and gentlemen, for good or ill.
It was
I haven't
recommended
seen this.
By somebody.
Somebody recommended it. You can watch it for free if you have Plex. Do you have Plex?
No.
If you do not have Plex, you can rent it for only 99 cents on Amazon Prime.
Oh my God, I've never seen anything on Amazon Prime for 99 cents.
Not a bad deal. Otherwise, you got to pay $3.99 on Apple TV or $5.99 on Vudu, yikes, for goodness sake. So there you have it. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions about Speak No Evil, and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. So thank you very much, and be well.
Be well, children. Stay away from that fentanyl.